Philippians, please, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1. Shall we read from verse 1, please? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel for the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how great we are long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And perhaps we could look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, with sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. But really, I had no idea that I was going to be speaking a little word at this juncture of the conference, but it seemed to be impressed upon my heart by the message that we have just been listening to and comments that have been made, because after all, there's nothing that should really stir us up so much as the imminence of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it should have a very purifying effect upon us individually. But I think that there's nothing really that should stir our hearts relative to as to the going forth of the gospel. When we think of souls that are unsaved and loved ones hastening on to hell, it should stir us up that we should awake. It is high time to awake out of sleep. And so, I just want to look at this little word, a little outline of the epistle to the Philippians, and relative to the presentation of the gospel. Now, we'll read first of all in verse 7 of chapter 1. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, I think that most of us will realize that historically, the epistle to the Philippians is a letter of acknowledgement for some form of practical fellowship in the gospel that had come from the saints at Philippi to the Apostle Paul. And he is very much appreciative in every way of their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. But I believe that he serves of the occasion to impress upon the hearts of the Philippians something that was upon his heart relative to the gospel and relative to them. Now, here in verse 7, he mentions this as being upon his heart,
And he says he wants them to know that ye are partakers of my grace. Or the margin says, partakers with me of grace. Now, our Spanish Bible gives a little different idea on the verse. And since I've been reading that Bible for the last 5 years, well, some of the things impress themselves upon me. But the idea that I get from the Bible that we're used to down there in Costa Rica is this, that he wants them to know that they are partakers with me of this grace. That ye are partakers with me of this grace, that is the grace, the favor of making known the gospel. Well, I present that to you as document anyway. I believe that we are living in a day when each and every one of us, because of the nearness of the coming of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, need to be stirred individually in our souls as to the necessity of each and every one of us shining more and holding forth the word of truth more than we are. I was impressed with that recently in Costa Rica. I had been having meetings down there, and one of the young men that had come along to the meetings, he hardly ever missed a meeting, and manifested an interest in salvation. But you know, there came a time when I noticed that his interest began to wane. And I asked him, I said, Edgar, what's happening here? You were formerly interested in your salvation, and I thought we were going to see you saved. And now you're not coming out so frequently. He told me, well, he says, I realized that if I got saved, it would mean a change in life for me. And you know, I like the type of life I'm living, and I'm just not willing to pay that price. And we spoke to him a little, but he went on. And you know, it wasn't very long till he was going along the highway with his sister on the back of a motorcycle, and they collided with an oncoming vehicle and came along. And he was ushered out into the street. And now it just made me think, as I thought of this young man that had missed his opportunity. But another thing that made me think so well, I thought of the day that he told me this and of his decision for the world instead of Christ, and it made me weep that I had a little concern for his soul, that I didn't fall upon my knees and pray for my friend and try to plead with him that he might find God's salvation. Day of opportunity, how quickly it is over. And why, as we think of the nearness of the coming of the end of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we should be in earnest, each one of us individually. We're all partakers, those of us that are saved by sovereign grace, of this grace of making known the gospel. You know, it's very easy for us to be self-satisfied in the way things are going on. I remember most of you here, a lot of you anyway, will remember Brother Herb Harris and how he always used to remind us of the fact that we oftentimes had a self-sufficient and self-complacent and self-satisfied spirit. Why, that's just so. I can remember in days when these brethren were preaching the gospel. Why, there were 20 saved at this series of meetings and 30 saved at that series of meetings. And does it not speak to our souls that we don't seem to be seeing those results in the gospel today? And we seem to be just satisfied about the matter. Well, it should cause us concern. It should indeed. And we seem to be living in a great measure what I call a four-wall Christianity. That is to say, in a four-wall gospel, if you like. We're living our Christianity between the four walls of our home. Then we jump in our car and we live our Christianity in the preaching of the gospel between the four walls of the gospel hall, and that seems to be it. But I believe God would have us to shine as lights in the world. You know, I've been really impressed with this lately, how that perhaps in a prayer meeting before the gospel meeting, we get down on our knees before the Lord, and we say, well, something like this, Lord, thou hast good, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, Lord, you know that's what we're doing here tonight. Well, I don't think you're really being honest in that. Because the 10 chances to 1, you know, we haven't gone at all. The Lord said, go, and we haven't gone. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you. And we plead his presence in the presence in the preaching of the gospel, and well we may, but we haven't fulfilled the Lord's command. And thus I believe that there needs to be a greater measure of exercise amongst us as to personal evangelism. I thank God for every outreach effort. I'm not criticizing in any sense of the words, the gospel meetings here in the gospel hall or in any of the gospel halls. But I thank God for the efforts that our brethren are making in seeking to get out and to take the gospel to others. Not just to be satisfied with what is going on with them before the walls of the gospel hall, but to go, as the Lord said, and to seek to contact others that they might be reached and saved. Thank God for the tent meetings. And we've even been asked to pray for the earthquake in the execution. And so on. I have spoken at a time when brethren would have been even think they'd be sorry for doing something like that. But they're doing it with a purpose in mind, and that's the important thing. And I hope the Lord will preserve us from a critical spirit in measuring that too, because if after all, it's very easy to criticize yourself to some measure. But our brethren are seeking to get the message out. And they're seeking to do something for God and seeking to do something that souls might be saved. And generally speaking, we find that when we criticize, it's from the ground of not doing anything at all. And that's hardly fair, is it? To criticize those that are seeking to do something to get the gospel out if we're not doing anything at all. So the Lord exercise our each and every heart as individuals that we might realize that we are all, each and every one of us, saved by God's sovereign grace. We are responsible. We are partakers, not just the so-called gospel preachers, but we are all partakers of this grace of making known the gospel. And in that sense, I believe, brethren, that we need revival. We need revival. And we oftentimes think of revival as a series of prayer meetings, and a series of gospel meetings. Revival is us as the people of God. When we need a revival, New Testament evangelism. You take Acts chapter. How outstanding that is. Because the different ones, and they went. Epistle of Timothy in verse 20, chapter 2, for I have no mind like man like-minded who will not put his cares for your sake, for all seek the Lord, but the things which are Jesus Christ.
So the Lord help us to seek the things of God. Now, chapter 3 and verse 3, and I'm going to draw this rapidly to a close. Chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship, and the word here is the word to serve as well, and I believe that's in view, which serve God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Now, if we were exercised about the gospel in view of the Lord's coming, then of course how are we going to carry it out? How are we going to serve God acceptably?
And here's the thing.
Here's the secret
that we have here in chapter 3. We are the circumcision which serve God in spirit, or the Jerusalem Bible says, which serve God according to the Spirit, and have no confidence in the flesh.
And so there is a spiritual way, there is a scriptural way to carry on the work of God. And that is having our confidence completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in Him alone, finding in Him our strength, and finding from Him the substance for the presentation to others, and having no confidence in the flesh. And then finally, in chapter 3 and verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended or laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence all we look for the Savior, who shall clean our vile body, or the body of our mission, that it may be fashioned like unto his glory, body of the body of his glory, the work whereby he is able to do all things unto him. And so we hear, in this section we have the good and the reward of the gospel.
And
here his object in view was that he might lay hold of, that's how it's put in our Spanish Bible, that he might lay hold of that for which God had laid hold of him. So the Lord help us then. God has laid hold of us. He has lit a lamp in our hearts that others might know the gospel. And the Lord help that we might fulfill that purpose for which God has laid hold of us. And then to have that reward and to see that when we get yonder in God's presence, what a joy to see this one and that one. And because we were stirred up and exercised us to the gospel, why, God has used us in their salvation. What a joy that will be to see some soul our souls that we have been instrumental in one way or another of leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. What rejoicing will be ours when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So the Lord stir our hearts that we might be more concerned that each and every one of us may be partakers of this grace of making known the gospel.